بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Duality in nature and medicine. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu says in the Quran al-Kareem, بَعْدَ بِاللَّهِ مِنِ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَمِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقْنَا زَوْجَيْنِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. We have created pairs, opposites of everything, such as male and female, hot and cold, sweet and sour, etc., so that you may take heed. So let me repeat the translation without the inline commentary. We have created pairs of everything so that you may take heed. And this translation with the inline commentary is from Quran Made Easy. From this ayat of Quran and its explanation by the Mufassirin, it is established that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this entire world, in fact entire universe, in a system of pairs. Each and everything that exists as a creation of Allah exists in two aspects that are opposite to each other while also dependent on each other for their very existence. Simple examples that are before us every day are aspects such as day and night. They are opposite, yet day cannot exist without night. It will have no definition. Night cannot exist without day. Hot and cold, again, opposite but interdependent. The internal organs of the body and the outer surface, the heavens and the earth, sweet and sour, wet and dry, male and female, down and up, happy and sad, passive and active, activity and inactivity, structure and function, etc. Like this, every phenomenon, creation and thing or aspect or idea, whether material or abstract, can be described in terms of two aspects that oppose each other, are dependent on each other, are mutually engendering, mutually controlling and mutually transforming. In Chinese philosophy, we'll be familiar with this principle, which is called the yin-yang theory. And in Western circles and in our education, this will be termed as a theory. But it's not a theory. And it's not a theory because actually it's proven from Quran. That the same verse that I've recited to you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself says that when Allah created everything as pairs. So at the same time, it's not something that is exclusive to Chinese philosophy. As we see from Quran, it's something that's rooted in Quran itself, which is the highest source of Islam. And in fact, an amazing thing about this verse and is the part of the mathematical miracles of Quran is that this verse is the 49th verse of the 51st surah. So 49 and 51 is 100, but it's not 50-50 balance, which indicates also towards yin and yang, because yin and yang are not a 50-50 balance. Even in the writings on yin-yang theory by modern writers, and even in the Chinese writings, it said that yin and yang are not a static 50-50 balance. This is actually a quote from the books on yin and yang. So this verse is the 49th verse of the first 51st surah, which equals to 100, but shows the dynamic nature of yin and yang. And it is this dynamic nature, day changing into night and night into day, the moon constantly waxing or waning and so forth, which characterizes the dynamic, the dynamicity and the movement of yin and yang in the universe and the world. So this principle actually of yin and yang and movement of yin and yang represents a way of thinking that is necessary to the practice of Islamic medicine, because it is an essential feature of the universe, of Allah's creation. And the human body is also a creation of Allah. So it also has yin and yang. And if we do not frame our thinking with regards to the human body and illness and health in terms of yin and yang, then we won't be able to understand things properly. And this is a major drawback in Western medicine. But this theory is found in complementary medicine systems, in specifically Chinese medicine. And we adopt this not in a way of taking it from Chinese medicine, but this is something which is already present in Quran. And in Chinese medicine, it has been elucidated very well. So I'm going to continue using the words yin and yang, because I have not found as yet an Arabic word that captures the same meaning and that will bring us the same ability to formulate diagnoses, etc., without creating confusion. And the other reason for this also is because we will be able to draw upon the knowledge, and you will be able to draw upon other knowledge as well as it relates to yin and yang. As long as it conforms with what you are learning here in terms of Islamic medicine, which conforms with Quran and Sunnah and the Shariat. So in Chinese, originally, yin referred to the shady side of a slope. So the shady side of a mountain, and is associated with qualities such as inwardness, cold, darkness, rest, passivity, tranquility, and the endings of things, or the completion or the fruition of matters. And yang, and pronounced in Chinese as yang, but I'm not going to force the pronunciation on you. Yang is fine, but in Chinese it's pronounced yang. So yang originally referred to the sunny side of the slope, or the sunny side of the mountain, and naturally would be associated with qualities such as brightness, activity, motion, heat, stimulation, activity, upwardness, outwardness, increase, and also concepts such as the beginning and dynamic potential. And in fact, the two ayat preceding the one above also allude to these opposing qualities. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran, وَالسَّمَاءَ بَنَيْنَاهَا بِأَيْدٍ وَإِنَّا لَمُوسِعُونَ and the translation from Sahih International, and the heaven we constructed with strength, and indeed we are its expander. So very, very interesting words Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses in this ayat of Quran. And before I go into any discussion, I want to mention the next ayat. وَالْأَرْضَ فَرَشْنَاهَا فَنِعَمَ الْمَاهِدُونَ. And the earth we have spread out, and excellent is the preparer. And there are different translations for this. Another translation is mahidun, is regarding rest or contraction, etc. But we can get further information on this from the ulama and those who are experts in Arabic. But the words and the ayat itself are quite relevant to the first ayat which I told you about, which comes after these two. In that, in these two ayat preceding, the ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that it is, he has created everything in pairs, Allah is describing the heavens and the earth. So the heavens are yang, and Allah describes the strength and building in the ayat, which is also related to yang. And Allah says we are its expander. وَإِنَّا لَمُوسِعُونَ. This is also a yang quality, expansion, spreading, expansion of and other commentators of this verse also extract from here the quality of the universe, which is always expanding. So this ayat contains qualities which we regard as yang or yang in nature. And the next ayat, وَالْأَرْضَ فَرَشْنَاهَا فَنِعْمَ الْمَاهِدُونَ. And in this ayat, earth is mentioned. Earth is yin. Then فَرَشْنَاهَا, to spread out instead of to build up. That is also yin quality. And in other translations, place of rest is also used, which is also a yin quality. So we can see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also is alluding to these qualities in Quran. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself has stated it directly, and then there is allusion to it in many, many places in the Quran. And in terms of this yin-yang relationship, there are seven basic principles which can be seen in nature and is alluded to in Quran. And even in these same ayat above, although that discussion is of a highly technical nature involving the analysis of Arabic grammar and the use of the Arabic words, which when gone into in detail, reveals much deeper insight into what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in these verses, and then by reference to those nature of the pairs that Allah has created, which we are referring to as yin and yang. So I'll however leave that discussion for the ulama and a later time inshallah. The first basic principle of yin and yang is that every single thing has a yin and a yang aspect. So it is the literal meaning of the verse quoted above, and it indeed applies to every single thing. When one thinks about it clearly, the glory and the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being displayed here through this method of His creating the universe and all that exists. Those who will ponder will understand that the whole of creation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it invite to Tawheed by it having an opposite pair. So what I mean by this, and this is a saying that I have, is that upon the tapestry of the multitude of His paired creations, solely His oneness is gloriously evident, Jalla Jalalahu. So this means that By looking at the creations of Allah in a multitude and seeing how every single creation of Allah has a pair, this indicates that only one does not have a pair, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only Allah himself is one. Everything else is in pairs, and everything also is dependent on its pair to exist. So night needs day to exist. A male needs a female to exist. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is independent of everything and anything, and there is none like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So coming back to yin and yang, and this principle of everything has a yin and yang aspect, sometimes we may not understand how an object, an idea or concept can have both yin and yang aspects. So let us take, for example, the liver. As a whole, we see that the liver has attached to it the gallbladder. In this relationship, the liver is yin and the gallbladder is yang. When looking at the liver alone, in terms of its structure, it has both a left and a right lobe of different sizes. These are also the yin and the yang of the liver. Then the liver has both form and function, and every organ has form and function. So the structure of the organ will be the yin of the organ, and the function of the organ will be its yang. And in terms of root syndrome differentiation, which I've spoken about before in the past, and I have responded to certain case studies on the Facebook page, which may at this time not be clear, but if liver function is deficient, which is characterized by pains along the liver meridian, etc., we can say that liver yang is deficient. And this becomes actually a syndrome which is treatable in our medicine. So if liver function is excessive, we could say that liver yang is hyperactive. And this is commonly characterized by migraine, headaches, symptoms of the eye, etc. In fact, an incident comes to mind when a particular Sahabi was eating dates, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw the Sahabi eating dates, and he asked that Sahabi, more or less to this meeting, or indicated towards the Sahabi that you are eating dates, but your eye is sore. So this Sahabi replied in a joking manner that I'm eating it by the side of the eye, which is not sore. So there is a deeper indication in here as well that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam understood many things. And obviously Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's knowledge compared to the knowledge of the entire creation of Allah is far supersedes the knowledge of the entire creation of Allah. So an all insan of the world. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam understood that there is a link between eating dates and the eye. And in our medicine, in complementary medicine and in Chinese medicine and in other medicines as well, and we adopt this in Islamic medicine, we understand it, that the liver and the eyes are connected. So if a person's liver is hyperactive, in this case, which I said that the liver yang is excessive, which would also mean that there's heat in the liver, then this would manifest in the eye as being sore. And dates have a quality of increasing the heat of the liver as well. So when the liver is already hot, to take dates at that time is not indicated. It's not recommended. So this is how yin and yang comes into the system. And I want to take you step by step through it so that you are able to diagnose clearly, having a strong basis. So also keep in mind that when I'm describing these liver syndromes at this time here, it's apparent that in Islamic medicine, just as in Chinese medicine, the liver is more than just the organ, which I've just described, that the liver is connected to the eyes, it's also connected to the nails, etc. But we'll get to these associations later. What I wanted to explain here was how every single aspect has a yin and a yang aspect. So let us take another example, the example of a medical condition, depression. So as an individual phenomena in the realm of mental disorders, depression can be said to be a yin disorder because it's identified in Western medicine by lack of activity, lack of desire to do anything, sleeping more than normal, maybe not wanting to socialize and meet with people. And these are clearly yin signs. But even within depression, there are yin and yang. So there are yin and yang types as well. And you might have heard of manic depression versus seasonal affective disorder. So manic depression would be a more yang type of nature. So within depression, we have yin and yang also. So we have manic depression or seasonal affective disorder. And in fact, this leads me to the next principle. And that principle is that any yin or yang aspect can be further divided into yin and yang. So this principle was described in the previous discussion with regards to the liver, but as a further, and depression, but as a further example, so that we can understand this clearly, take the case of cold water versus hot water. So it would be clear to you by now that cold is a yin quality. So cold water would be yin and hot water would be yang. But each of these can be further divided into yin and yang again. Cold water can be divided into, for example, tap water versus fridge water. In this case, tap water, because it's warmer than fridge water, would be yang, and fridge water would be yin. So this also means that yin and yang are relative to each other. There is no absolute. There is no absolute yin or absolute yang. Things will always be what is it in comparison to something else. And this is an indication of the interdependence also of these pairs that Allah has created. And there can always be something that is more yin or more yang, which then makes the original aspect of the opposite quality in comparison. The next principle is that yin and yang are relative opposites. So I've spoken about this before, and it leads from the previous example. And also, this is common sense. People understand this by nature, but it's just that we haven't described it and put into an understanding of the way Allah has created the universe. So yin and yang hold qualities which are relatively opposite to each other. And this also may not always be apparent. And possibly the term opposite is very strong. But we are able to differentiate between yin and yang based on qualities which we normally regard as opposite to each other. In the case of fridge versus tap water, let's continue with this example. We may find it difficult to characterize one as being opposite to the other in terms of temperature. But we can look at it this way, that those of you who understand physics and the nature of temperature will know that the molecules in the case of fridge water are moving faster than the slower molecules in the the molecules in the case of tap water are moving faster than the molecules in the fridge water. So there is an opposite nature here. There is fast and slow. We can say that the molecules in terms of the tap water are moving fast compared to the molecules in fridge water, which are moving slow. So there is a yin and yang relationship. And it is naturally, if you understand physics, it's the movement of the molecules that determine the temperature of the water. The more the movement, being the cause of a higher temperature. And there's a video that I've added in the supplementary section so that you can understand better, those who have not come across this concept in physics yet. So the next principle is that yin and yang are complementary. So while yin and yang are opposite, they are also complementary, as they cannot exist without the other. In fact, the yin and yang of various things and of the universe itself and of the planets work together and produce harmony in the universe, just as the husband and wife do in order to produce harmony in the family. It's the microcosm versus the macrocosm again. And from the coming together of yin and yang, virtue is produced. This is a Chinese saying. Day and night are both needed. Work and rest complement each other. If a person doesn't rest properly, they won't be able to work properly. The king and the servants both make up a kingdom. If one aspect is missing, then the whole cannot survive. So yin and yang are complementary. They're both needed to balance the organism, to balance the system, to balance the idea, to balance the universe. And this is the way Allah has created it. And the next principle that I want to describe is yin and yang control each other. Because yin and yang are relative opposites, they act to control one another in the universe, in the microcosm as well, in the human body, and in all aspects of the creation of Allah. This control can also be regarded and termed as a balance. And in the human body, they are both yin and yang. If one is deficient, that particular aspect, whether yin or yang, will not be able to control the other effectively. Let's take, for example, if there is a yin deficiency, then yang will not be sufficiently controlled, so yang will go out of control. Then we'll get symptoms such as heat, restlessness, the inability to sleep, fever, red eyes, because yang is not being controlled, is not being cooled properly by yin. If one of them are in excess, this can. If one of these are in excess, then this can also result in over control. So if yin is in excess, then yang will be suppressed. Yang won't be hyperactive. So if yin is suppressed, it will result in signs such as feeling cold, inactivity, poor digestion, diarrhea, etc. The next principle is that yin and yang are rooted in each other. This principle is quite important to understand, as it can be confusing to many people. We have described yin and yang so far as being opposite but complementary. But here I'm also saying that yin is rooted in yang and yang is rooted in yin. This principle is also termed as yin and yang mutually engender. What is meant here and what is observed in nature is that yin gives rise to yang and yang gives rise to yin. This is the constant changing of nature, and there is also reference to this in various places in the Quran Kareem. For example, in Surah Alam Nashrah, Allah Jalla Jalalahu says more or less to this meaning that after every difficulty there is ease. So in this case, the ease was rooted in the difficulty. Because there was a period of difficulty, now an ease has come from the side of Allah. Another example is the English proverb that you have to be cruel to be kind. Meaning that by being, so to say, cruel at times, you will engender the quality that you want in that person that you're being cruel to, which then turns out to be a kindness from your part. So the kindness, which is a yin quality, was rooted in the cruelty, which is a yang quality. So another way we can describe this principle is that within yin and yang, the seed or potential for the opposing factor also exists. That is why I'm sure you've seen the symbol of the yin and yang. It's quite famous. We see that there is a dot of the opposite color in each side. And it is the seed which is represented by the dot, which becomes the other. Because mostly we see this particular symbol, the taiji too, in a static way. And yin and yang, as I described before, is not something which is static. It's something which is dynamic. It's always moving. The moon doesn't remain in the same phase every time. Whenever you look at it, it's different. So it's either waxing or waning. Sometimes it's a full moon. Sometimes we're looking for the sliver of the moon so that we can start Ramadan or we can start Eid. So the moon doesn't remain in one state. Also, that particular Taiji 2 symbol, although we see it as a static symbol, it's not actually something to be static. And in the notes on this lecture, if you're reading through the notes while you're listening to this or you read through it later, you'll see that I put a picture of the Taiji 2 symbol. And then below it, I put a picture of a dynamic symbol, which in many ways show all the principles that I've mentioned so far in the remaining, the last one as well. You'll see that how yin is turning into yang and how that seed of yin and yang, which is in its opposite, is actually growing, and that's where that yin and yang is coming from. So yang is diminishing while yin is growing. Yin is diminishing while yang is growing. This is the actual nature of universe, and this is what is meant by the yin and yang and its dynamicity. So coming to the final principle, yin and yang transform into each other. And you can see this if you're looking at that particular animated image, you'll see it in front of you. But obviously we are referring to nature, and more specifically to medical science and Islamic medicine, and the nature of the human body and illness and health and disease and health preservation. So in terms of that, I will get to it a bit later, but we need to understand this principle as it applies to the whole universe. So the last principle that I want to speak about is that yin and yang transform into each other. What is meant here is that double yin turns into yang and double yang turns into yin. That means when yang becomes excessive or reaches its peak that it can reach, it turns into yin. And when yin also becomes excessive and reaches its peak, then it turns into yang. So the moon is growing until it reaches its largest point, and then it starts waning. So that is yang turning into yin. Then as it starts waning and it reaches its smallest point, then it starts to grow again. So when it reaches its maximum point of yang, it now transforms into yin. And when it reaches its maximum point of yin, it transforms into yang. And this is a principle that we see that applies everywhere in nature and in medicine. So I always like to take the example of a car that's speeding. I used to use this example when I was teaching Chinese medicine theory in Australia. So a car that is speeding, this can be described as a yang activity, movement, fast. And as the speed increases, the yang keeps on increasing. And because within yang there is the potential for yin, eventually the speed increases to a point where an accident is inevitable. The road is not long enough. It's just not possible for the car to maintain that type of speed and still be under control, etc. And an accident occurs. So once this accident occurs, it's an immediate stop. We are going from moving extremely fast to an immediate stop. That stop is obviously yin. It's no activity. It's not moving. So double yang in this case has turned into yin. And there are many examples like this in nature. Another example from the human body is that if a fever which is young continues increasing to the point where the body cannot survive at this particular temperature, proteins start to denature, etc., then eventually the person will die, which is now a yin condition. So double yang has turned into yin. So this principle often refers to the extreme case and is applied especially where we see a reversal of symptoms in a patient. These seven principles that I've mentioned above extend into the understanding of the human body and Islamic medicine as well, and the nature of health and disease. And once we begin to think in terms of yin and yang, it becomes easy to understand many different illnesses that may at first be daunting to tackle. The nature of Western medicine is such is that if a causative factor cannot be found, we will not be able to diagnose that particular disease. But in Islamic medicine, it's different. If we are able to see the yin and yang nature of the person, we don't need to know what the organism was that caused it. We don't need to know what the gene is. We don't need to know what that molecule is that's causing the problem. We can already identify the yin and yang nature of the disease. We can identify at the organ level also the yin and yang nature of the illness, and we can start treating that particular illness. We don't have to send the person off for x-rays and these tests and those tests, etc., for them to come back and then to tell them that no, we can't find nothing wrong with you. So the nature of our medicine is such that we can identify even before things can be picked up on lab tests and x-rays and other scans. We can already identify by looking at the yin and yang symptoms, by assessing the patient, we can see there might not even be an illness present or complaint by the patient. But from asking some questions which the patient may regard as normal, we can see that is the patient inclining towards a yin type of nature or a yang type of nature, and we can start addressing some of those symptoms beforehand. So, for example, if we have a person who we ask them how's their sleep, and they're not too bothered about it, but they say sometimes it's a bit difficult for them to fall off to sleep. But then they go to sleep. It's not a serious problem. They don't have to use any sleeping tablets, and they do get thirsty at night, etc. And that's all they complain about. So we can already start to see that there's some appearance of yang in this whole condition. Then we have to determine that what is producing this particular yang quality. So is it a true excess of yang in the body, or is it a case that the yin is deficient, which is producing the appearance of yang, so that balance has been altered? But what is the reason for it? And that's why at this point I've brought in a table, which you'll see in the lecture notes. And the first table describes the eight very basic types of yin-yang disharmony in the body. So this is a generalization, and it's extremely good to be able to do this. And I want you to start employing this type of assessment with your patients and with people in general, so that you can get a feel in diagnosis within Islamic medicine on this level of diagnosis, which is actually the second level of diagnosis. I haven't done the first level first. I've done the second level first. The first level is constitutional diagnosis, but it's easier to identify yin and yang first in a patient. So we've got eight basic patterns. The first one is what we call an exterior yang syndrome. So when we say exterior, we mean that a syndrome that has been generated by an external influence, such as cold, such as heat, such as dampness, you know, such as infection. For example, a common cold. And this would be a common cold that has a higher heat component. So a flu where the patient has more fever, has more thirst, less malaise, and less body aches. That would be an exterior yin type of syndrome. So then we have also the second pattern is anterior yin. An interior syndrome generated by an internal disharmony, such as a disorder of organ function. And then the third one we have is cold yin. So a cold pattern is manifested by signs such as a pale face. The person looks cold, and we correspond these particular symptoms to nature, because we understand nature, and all of us understand about nature. I mean, snow isn't red, snow is white. So the white has a link with cold, because snow is also cold, and it snows when it's cold. So cold lumps, aversion to cold, clear urine, watery stools. Then we have heat, yang. So a heat pattern is manifested by signs of a red face. So there is redness. And we often see patients either have red cheeks or they have a red tinge to the appearance. Dislike of heat. So this particular type of person will really have to have that aircon running, and they have to sleep with the windows open. Dark urine, constipation. And we have a deficiency yin syndrome. So here we have, because it's a deficiency and it's a yin syndrome, we have signs of frail and weak movements, malaise, tiredness, shortness of breath, low voice, dizziness. These indicate a deficiency pattern and are normally related to a lack of energy of the normal functions. So the sixth one that we have is excess yang. So excess yang exhibits signs of heavy movements, heavy respiration, discomfort when touched with pressure. So if the person is suffering from any type of pain and you apply pressure on it, it'll get worse. These signs are usually related to an excess or accumulation of waste, metabolic waste, etc. Then we have the remaining two, which are general pattern groups for yin manifestations and yang manifestations. So we mostly focus on the first six. So you can start doing this already and comment on this particular lecture or on the Facebook group about certain symptoms. You can ask me whether you think this, what I think of this particular system, and I'll let you know. In terms of within the body, and this would be your first introduction to starting to diagnose in terms of questioning and also looking at the appearance of the patient, etc. And these are very basic. So in terms of the face, if the patient has a red face, hot feeling, agitated, active, this is yang. And if the face is pale, they have a low spirit, they feel cold limbs, they're tired and weak, these are yin signs. In terms of the voice as well, today maybe you can hear my voice is low, so because I haven't been well for a little while. If a person has a reduced appetite, little thirst, etc., then these are yin signs. But if a person has a coarse and a strong voice and dry mouth, thirst, these are yang signs. But it is more complicated than this. We have to identify what's the reason for the yang, but later we'll get into that. Then urine, generally constipation with the awkward smell, dark urine, strong colors with strong heat in the urine as well. These are yang signs. And yin signs are copious and clear urine on the tongue, red colors, scarlet tongue, or a thick coat, whether it's yellow, right? Sometimes black, but mostly we see a yellow, thick yellow coat on the tongue. This is an excess yang type of syndrome. And then sometimes there can be no coat as well, but the tongue can be red. So this is also a yang sign, but one is due to deficiency, the other is due to excess. And then the yin sign on the tongue is a pale tongue, swollen tongue, or not much coat, but the color is more important in this case. Then you get the pulse signs, and pulse is very complicated, and there's a lot of confusion with regards to the pulse. I will not be teaching pulse in detail in this course because it cannot be taught in detail in this method. It has to be taught practically. You have to feel the pulse after I feel the pulse, and then we both have to agree and use the same terminology when we feel that same pulse. That is the only way to learn pulse diagnosis. And I will be having pulse diagnosis practicals coming up, and you'll be informed about that as well. But in general, yang signs on the pulse are pulse which is a pulse which is rapid and floating, a strong pulse. It has force, slippery, can be a full pulse as well. Flooded here actually should be surging. So a surging pulse is also a yang pulse. And then we have on the other side, yin signs, a slow pulse, sinking, which also means a deep pulse that you have to push quite hard with your fingers to find the pulse. That's a deep pulse, that's a sinking pulse. Or a weak pulse means that it doesn't have any force, it doesn't hit hard back against your fingers. And a frail pulse can be considered a very fine and very forceless pulse, which is also called a thready pulse. So these are basic signs of yin and yang. And as I mentioned before, this is the second level of diagnosis that we are going to use in Islamic medicine, that to determine the basic qualities of the patient, of the condition, that is it a yin or is it a yang type syndrome. And then if we look at the yin and yang, is it a excess yin or excess yang? Is it based on deficiency or excess? And we'll do more work on this later when we get to the particular lecture that goes into detail on this matter. But for now, you can read the supplementary materials, watch the supplementary videos as well, and answer the quiz questions. And let me know if you have any questions by commenting on this lecture or posting them on the Facebook group. JazakAllah. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.